Welcome to Vegas Ringside Rundown, the podcast that brings you the heart-pounding action and insightful discussions of youth hockey right from the heart of Las Vegas. I'm thrilled to introduce to you your favorite hockey dads, Nate and Ron.
There you have it, Nate and Ron, back for another podcast. Now, it's been, what, about 2 weeks or so?
Yeah.
And then about 3 months before that. But you know what?
Doing a little better.
We're getting back into the
podcast legs back underneath of us.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, Nate, for another edition of Vegas Ringside Rundown, where we talk a lot about youth hockey in the 702. That's Las Vegas, I hear.
Lots to talk about in this.
Hockey
in the desert.
Absolutely. So let's talk. So let's see. Where did we leave off? Last 2 weeks ago, we were worried about getting into tryouts, yeah, right?
Talking about tryouts. How do we prepare? How do we deal with the stress? And now I think, you know, let's talk about what happens after.
Now, there's still one more set of tryouts that needs to happen. There was a lot of tryouts, we'll say, right? There's a lot of opportunity. Now, Silver Knights, I don't think they were doing any tryouts for any of their program over at America First Arena.
I don't think so. I think it was all VGK. And
then high school stuff, right?
High school, yeah. So Faith Lutheran, VGK and Faith Lutheran over there at City National. And then you had Bishop Gorman and Storm, you know, over at LVIC.
Yeah. So you're a parent out there. You're listening to this podcast. You're like, oh, my God, they're talking about the tryouts. Well, we're not going to talk specifically about kids. You don't have to worry about that. But in general, there was some commotion this year about the tryouts and how they were.
Well, I think there's commotion every year, but yeah. Perhaps – you know, a little more confusion, we'll say, this year with, you know, they added some teams and, you know, they rearranged some things, which caused kids to really not know where they fit in.
Yeah.
Where I think the past few years, it's been a pretty, I don't want to say consistent, but, you know, it's been a pretty
straightforward
process. Process, yeah. You know, you have two teams pretty much in each level. And, you know, or at least for our kids' age group.
Yeah,
the 16U, 15U, 16U, mm-hmm. however you want to call it, 09s. you know, that's sort of a transition year for them.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, they have high school. And you have the club teams, double A, triple A, whatever, mm-hmm. tier one, two, or two, however you want to call it. And, you know, it just makes for a little more confusion and interesting times.
Well, let's just say that some confusion could be the times that these tryouts started, the dates that these tryouts mm-hmm. started.
You know, I guess, feeling on that is I wish they would center this more around the kids and not sort of, I feel the timing of the tryouts was a little suspect this year.
Yeah.
Right? You know, there were dates put forth and then dates were changed and it seemed almost like there was some gamesmanship being played.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's hope that in the future that doesn't happen. You know, give all the kids a fair chance to sort of explore. You know, this is supposed to be for the kids. And, you know, it's in the end, it's not really what the adults feel about this process. It's what the kids feel about the process.
Yeah.
And so I know as parents, it's a bit stressful when your kid is put in a difficult place. Based on the decisions of adults who are ostensibly there for kids. And it's not one organization or another. It's both, all of them, really.
Well, not so much, I would say, the Ice Warriors.
No, the Ice Warriors.
They've always been I mean, I don't know if there's really a way to make it fair. You know, like, for example, if Vegas Junior Golden Knights does their tryouts first, right? And then you have Storm that does their tryouts second. That's generally how that works. And then to follow would be the Icewares.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that had to be, that was arranged with Naha or whatever. Who knows? But, like, is it fair? Like, for example, that's how it's always been. But now this year, it's been multiple tryouts on the same day. Not for Ice Warriors. They're actually doing it this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally understand, like, the confusion.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like certain organizations were, I'm trying to pick my words wisely here, but, like, if as a kid you want to try out for all the teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So you want to try out for all the teams. You don't necessarily want to pick. But, I mean, there could be some argument. We'll get into some of the Hockey Parents of Las Vegas comments, but as far as, like, some of the threads that we were reading. But you don't, you want them to have the option to try out. But there's a couple things, though. Some of these kids strictly will try out for Vegas Junior Golden Knights. Some will strictly try out for Storm. Some will strictly try out for Ice Warriors. So you're not worried about those specific families. But when you have a, say you have a kid on, you know, on that's bubble, kind of on a bubble that you, they might, I'll use my kid as an example. You know, he tried out for Vegas Junior Golden Knights, 14 AAA/AA, whatever they decide. And then he didn't make it. Wally is the head coach for that team. And I have to give credit with Wally there over at Vegas Junior Golden Knights program, because he didn't string a lot of these kids. If he felt like your kid was going to make round two, day two, he brought him on, but he cut a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he thinned it out pretty thin. And I thought to myself, as a parent that received a letter, and it was an email, right? A response, which is, sometimes you don't get that at all. Mm-hmm. You're just like, here's the list. This year, none of the organizations did any list at all, which I think is definitely better, because you're not stewing over, like, who made it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're asking a lot of parents, like, did your kid make it? Did your kid make it? But at the end of the day, you're not looking at this list going, why'd they pick that kid or that kid? Like, yeah, that kid? You have no idea, right? But to make my point, though, you know, that was really, I thought that was really a very good gesture to say, okay, hey, I know your kid wants to try out, but really they're not bubbles in his eye, and please go try out for the other organization, because they're having tryouts at roughly the same time. So he was able to get those kids over there. But some of the other kids, say the 15, 16-year-old kids or whatever, they were having a flip-flop between the tryouts. And I felt, I think on both sides, they were either not angry. We'll say that they were disappointed that kids were leaving, because they had to leave with a little bit left of their tryout left, because they were afraid.
Yeah, Nate? No, that's sort of why I wanted to talk about this. And really, it's, again, youth hockey is for the kids. It's not for the adults. So these kids should be given the chance to try out for whomever they wish. Now, my son chose to try out for one of the teams, and that's all he wanted to do, right? He sent off a text message over to the other organization and said, hey, you know, I'm trying out for this year. These are my reasons, and, you know, good on him for that. But for other kids that did want to try out for both, they didn't have that option, really. I mean, and they should have had the option to try out for both, see where they fit, see which team they fit in best with, what groups of kids, you know, kids get along with some kids and they don't get along with other kids. And the kids should have that opportunity to decide what best place to play for them would be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the teams can choose whether or not they take a kid. That's on the team.
Yeah.
That's on the organization. Now, however, not providing that ability for kids to try out here or there sort of, you know, eliminated those options for those kids that wanted to try out for both organizations.
Yeah. I'll give you another good example is, say you have a kid that maybe he feels like he might have what it takes to be, say, play for, you know, say the Vegas Junior Golden Knights. Maybe mm-hmm. he inspires to play for them.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, he's like, but I don't know if I'm going to make the team, but I definitely want to try out because if I do, I don't want to miss out on that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for this year, which was, like I said, there were some definite changes. This year was like, maybe I don't try out for VGK because I need to try out for Storm
mm-hmm.
because I have a better chance of, you know, but then there you go. You don't know if that kid's going to have the potential to compete or try out. You know, there's going to be kids that are going to have amazing tryouts.
Yeah.
And they're going to crush it. Like there's a kid that we were watching recently and, you know, there was, throughout the season, you're like, okay, he's doing okay. But then when it came to tryouts, it's like, dang.
Yeah, he absolutely crushed it.
He had a great tryout. But now it's like, is his mind on other things? Is, you know, not saying specifically speaking for this kid, but if you were at the tryout and you're like, well, I have the other program I got to try out for. We're just not there, right? And obviously there's financial reasons for that. It's not, yes, it's about the kids, but from an organizational standpoint, it's still business.
It's still business, but right? Here's the thing with that. I don't really accept that, right? The organization puts out the cost. You fill the team up. You're going to make that money no matter what, right? You have over 100 kids at your tryout. You're taking... Each team is going to take about 20. You're going to take two teams, so
yeah, 40 out of 100
kids. So you're not going to be in a situation where you don't have a full team and you're going to lose out on that money. So I really don't want to hear that excuse of it's a business. The money's coming.
That's true.
The money will be there, right? So and I think in these cases, I mean, most of these teams are probably loss leaders anyways. And in business parlance, I just mean like the teams are losing money. They're not making money on this.
Yeah.
Now, the only argument you can make there really is, you know, we have a good team and prestige and all that. But there again, it should be about the kids in that case. You should give them a chance to try out where they want to try out. They should have a chance to try out for both teams, you know, and... Hey, some kids are going to choose one organization over the other. Some kids might want to move across the organizations. Maybe they've been at one for a while. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just time for a change. Who knows? And the youth organizations in the city should be cooperative about that. It should be about growing hockey in the city. A rising tide lifts all boats sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right? Rather than this clashing that we seem to have a little bit.
Well,
right?
we have. We saw it in the Fox news mm-hmm. about the kids that were going to state.
Yeah.
You know, the question was asked to one of the leaders at Storm, you know. You guys, I'm paraphrasing, but something to the fact of like, you know, you guys are, you know, any comment on, you know, like getting along or whatever mm-hmm. the question was. It was very similar to that, but it was like, yeah, no answer. Yeah, I'm not speaking to that. And because the organizations, obviously, now this is the business part of it, they're both competing for said kids, right? But as you alluded, there's not enough ice and there's a lot of kids.
There's a lot of kids.
And so if you've got a season that maybe the prestige isn't there, you develop the kids that you got as best you can. And then for the kids that say they go to another organization, I can tell you right now, speaking for one of my sons, you know, he came up through one organization and he basically was like to the point where like, okay, now I'm going to jump to the next one because I feel like my game's getting better. And I'm not saying that another organization will make your game better or anything, but I feel like if you've never been over to another organization, it's kind of like your kids have really interesting like milestones, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm going to go and learn to skate and then I'm going to learn to play and then I'm going to go to Little Knights and then I'm going to, my goal is to get on a house league team. And then they're like, oh yeah, I see these travel kids. That looks like a lot of fun. I'm going to travel, right? And you're like, I'm going to try out for the team, the organization that I've been in the whole time, and I make it. And then you feel loyal to them. Mm-hmm. But at some point, though, it's not, you can't just be loyal anymore. You have to be, from a parent's perspective, and maybe a little bit on the kid's side, because some kids at a certain age will say, I really like this coach or that coach. And that's where it really boils down to the like, okay, so my kids like two coaches in two different organizations. Now, as a parent, you're like, all right, where am I getting my bigger bang for the buck? How much can my kid progress further in playing youth sports? Not the NHL, folks, just so you guys know that.
Yeah.
But how can they get better? Because I think for every parent out there, you know, you want to see your kid do better every year.
Absolutely. You want to see them grow. You want to see them progress not only in the game of hockey. You want to see them learning those life lessons. And, you know, it's yes, some kids are going to want to play for one organization or the other, and that's going to happen. And I think as an organization, you should be okay with that, and it should just, you know, it's not, it shouldn't be seen as a personal affront to anybody. I know for my kids, and I have a nephew at the one organization that my son left.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's a great place for him.
Yeah,
it's perfect. He's got a great coach that's working with him, and we're really excited to have him there. You know. I love that place, and you know, it's just unfortunate that some kids didn't get the opportunity to sort of
to really experience that, decide
I want to go here or there and just see where they wanted to be and, you know, maybe get to play together with the kids that they wanted to play together with. And just because, you know, there's this animosity between the organizations. And I really think I would really like to see that, you know, not be the case. I'd like to see it. I really would like to see the focus be on the kids. And, you know, again, I know we talk about the money and we know we talk, it's a business, but it's a youth sports business. Everybody pays the same amount of money pretty much.
Yeah.
Right? Your kid makes it on a team, you pay the money.
Yeah.
$7,000, $8,000, $9,000, whatever it ends up being. They're going to make that money. Now, you know, I can see, like I said, the prestige angle of it and attracting kids to your program. But I don't know that Vegas really is there yet. For that sort of thing to even matter. I think it's more of a, like I said, rising tide lifts all boats situation for Vegas, where, you know, just work on making each program better, work on making the kids better collectively. Each organization does its best.
Well, yeah, and don't, you know, maybe the organization shouldn't be disappointed if certain kids are got that out of your system, Doc?
I got it out.
Good. Maybe the organization shouldn't be upset if certain kids are trying out for other organizations. Like, at the end of the day, it is ultimately the kid's choice, and at least afford them the opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. And give them the opportunity. I would like to see where we have, you know, could it be coordinated? Or, in a way where, hey, they can be the same day. Maybe one is in the morning, one's in the afternoon. But give them the chance. Let them try out and have all the options on the table for them. You know, hey, maybe a kid thinks he's going to make one team and doesn't make that team, but makes the other one.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of kids that should have had the opportunity to try out for both teams. And I know of one kid in particular, if he would have tried out for one of the teams, he definitely would have made it, but he tried out. But he, because he had to make that decision,
yeah,
he had to try out at the other organization, and then at that organization, he didn't make any of the teams. Mm. And so now that kid who should have had the opportunity,
yeah,
to play on a higher level team is now stuck on a lower level team where he's not going to develop. And really, it's not beneficial for that kid. That should have the opportunity, and that's where I'm really sad that it is this way.
Yeah,
and I'd like to see it get better.
Well, let's hope that people are, you know, in the air of the organization saying, guys, you know, you guys need to come together at some point and say, next tryouts next year. Now you can go to the argument and say, okay, Vegas Junior Golden Knights it's not an argument; it's a fact. They've always had tryouts right after nationals.
Mm-hmm.
They've always done that. Who hasn't had tryouts so much right after nationals is Storm. So Storm had made a decision to have tryouts right after nationals. Now, could you throw in that third team and say, okay, we know we're going to have 3 days
mm-hmm.
of tryouts of each age group. And you could run that over. You can, all three organizations say, okay, I'll have mine on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You have it on and you have it on over a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily over, you know, one weekend. You know, like you would get all the levels, like 8U, 10U, 12U, all the way up to 18U. You would have them where, okay, this day is all VGK. The next day is going to be all Storm. The next third day is going to be all Ice Warriors. Have it relatively together. Have the kids, if they want to do it,
mm-hmm.
you would be paying for all three. But I could tell you this, having it all at the same time, and then when kids don't show up to your tryout because they're stuck going to the one that was the first one, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't get across town, just FYI, people. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, there's a thing called travel.
You got 10 minutes in between the tryouts. They're not going to make the tryout. They're not going to make day one. Could they reach out to the organization and say, hey, here's what's going on. I'm not going to make it or I'm going to be late. They could, I guess. But guess what? Some of them didn't.
Mm.
And then when they didn't, and they eventually made the team that they were originally trying out for, there was some disappointment from the other organization. You know, feeling like, well, they didn't show up. Well, guess what? No one got refunds. For the kids that didn't show up, that paid for all, you know, there are families out there that paid for all three tryouts.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say they made the first one. They're not getting, hey, you didn't show up to the tryout, so here's your money back. My thing is that you kept the money. Now, could there be an argument to be said like, well, you're taking a kid's spot? I don't think so, not for tryouts, because all kids are welcome.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a cap on who can show up for tryouts. But they had, you know, organizations have no problem taking your money for tryouts. None of them want to give you your money back. Even I don't even know if you can ask for it.
I mean, I'm sure you can ask, but really, I mean,
that's the nature of the beast. This is what they've made.
Yeah.
So you can't be disappointed if parents are paying for these other tryouts and the kid ends up not coming because they made a choice because they had to. They had no other choice because they made the team they wanted, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Or they made the team they didn't think they were going to make because maybe they got better over the summer or they got better over the season. Holy, wow. I didn't even think I was going to make that, but I'm excited I did.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's a couple kids that, you know, made the cut because, you know, tryouts you have first cut, second cut, third cut.
Yeah.
And some of those kids that made that first cut for one team and couldn't go try out at the other team, now they're stuck.
Yeah, and for the older kids, they're stuck. Yeah, I guess if you were like 10U, 12U, 14U, you would be kind of stuck at 14U because you still have other options, right? So you don't make 14U, that's okay. You can still try out for high school. So you still had Bishop Gorman, you still had Faith Lutheran, and both, if I'm not mistaken, both added an extra team because of the amount of kids, mm-hmm. right? So you have Faith that has...
But Faith was the one that was after the 14U.
They were. They were.
Gorman was at the same time.
But technically, Faith was after their own Vegas Junior Golden Knights tryouts, too.
Yeah. No, they
I don't even know if... I think Faith and Gorman probably were going at the same time, weren't they?
No, Gorman tryouts were the same... All lumped together.
Got it. That's right.
Right? So
that's right.
You know, it's a learning experience, and these organizations are making changes and growing fast, and I understand that. Again, my emphasis here is, you know, the money's going to be there. Hockey's a growing sport.
Yeah.
Understand that. Make it about the kids.
Yeah.
Work together with your, you know, in this case as your competitor, but really work together and try to make it as best as possible as you can for these kids. Right? I mean, I don't know. You know, I know scheduling is hard. It's really not.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as hard as they make it. I think they make it more difficult on themselves. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. I understand. But at the same time, my biggest issue is sort of what I feel was the intentionality of changing dates and times so that things did coincide.
Correct. Just work together.
Just work together.
They have no problem working together in Naha. All these organizations have leaders in the organizations that are part of Naha. They all have to work together. They all can have the discussion.
Hey, maybe that's a great idea. Maybe Naha comes out with the tryout schedule. Maybe Naha says, okay, you know, here's when we're going to do the 8U tryouts and the 10U tryouts. And, you know,
that'd be great.
You know, Storm goes in this slot. VGK goes in this slot. Maybe you take turns who goes first. I don't know, but and the other thing I think should be the teams are put out,
mm-hmm.
and none of this 24-hour you got to sign stuff. Why?
I don't know. I think.
I understand why, but make it about the kids. Give the kids the opportunity. Don't do that to them.
Yeah, I think from an organization, you're spending the time in the tryout, and you're evaluating, and they're moving on. And then I think...
As a coach who's done this in other sports, you know, you have your list of kids, right? And as a coach who's had to do this in travel football and travel soccer...
Yeah.
Right. So you have your list of kids that you want. And then you have your secondary list of kids in case those kids don't work out. Yeah. It requires a little extra effort. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I mean, you know, Colorado has it. Like, well, Canada, we'll use Canada. They do it. All the kids try out at the same time, and then the clubs pick, like almost like a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
These kids will go to this club this year. This kids will go to that club this year. These kids go here, and they're put onto the club. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which would be. That's, you know, those kids are kept together because they're the same age groups. They all kind of, but they don't take the best. That's the one thing that I thought was interesting. My wife was talking to somebody from Canada. They don't take the top. They actually spread out the best players throughout and just kind of make them all, so they're all working together and having the lower kids work with the upper kids. The upper kids are, you know what I mean? Like they all kind of grow together.
Yeah, because, you know, The higher level kids get the opportunity to sort of help other kids develop, and then they get the opportunity to shine, and then those kids that maybe aren't as good have something to, you know, get to go against those better kids. So I get that. And it would be, you know, maybe Vegas can do something like that where we just have a combined tryout. Maybe Naha does that. And not that you have to pick the kids in that way, but just, you know, the organizations come out with their list and they you make an offer.
Wouldn't it be pretty awesome though? I, you know, just talking about this, wouldn't it be pretty cool? Like you do a blind tryout.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the coaches behind the glass. It's all the coaches. It's from the Ice Warriors. Mm-hmm. And then your kid comes out and they do the tryouts. They don't cut anybody. They don't cut anybody. They just do the tryouts. Then they, maybe the next day it's a, you know, kind of funneling those kids.
You can put them in different groups, right?
Correct. And then at the end, they're like, okay, wait for your email. And then what if you got like, oh my God, I got all three.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. Which one do I want to go with? Now I'm picking for coaches. Now I'm picking for who's going to be the best coach
out there.
Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
It would be amazing because then that's what would be best for the kids. You know, it makes it a little more difficult on the organization. Yes, the coach has got to do a little extra work. Yes.
Yeah.
But for the kid, you know, hey, you got choices now. And, you know, the coach is going to have to work his sheets.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to work your roster sheets and you know, you lose out on a kid. And that kid has got to say no to two people. So that's a learning experience and that's a life experience. Hey, now I have these opportunities.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and that would be great. Just having that all at one time. And I know that it presents some logistical challenges, but you're right. I mean, the way that Storm does it, where they break them up into teams is, you know, maybe you do that for the first week or first few days, and then you change up the teams as you see who fits where.
Yeah, or you do cutting, but you cut to the exact number that all the organizations need. Like, there's going to be kids in House League that are going to try out, mm-hmm. right? And they're just not. This is their first time stepping their foot on there, and they're just not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can say, hey, you know, at this point, we're going to offer you House League, right? That would be your fourth option.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that House League is going to be wherever you chose to go. If it's going to be Storm, America First, CNA, I'm not sure if they still have House League.
Or I know a lot of parents that do more than one.
Yeah.
Right. So,
but that'd be like, here's, you know, you'll still get offered, you'll still get offered something like, hey, thank you for trying out. Here is, you have an option for all these House League opportunities and keep growing your game, keep working hard, mm-hmm. you know, excuse me. Then you thin it down to about the total amount of kids that you should be on all those teams. And I know logistically it'd be crazy, but this is like, you know, real world stuff. So, like, you sit there and go, now we're down to the 54 kids or whatever the number is, and now the coaches are like, all right, I see something in this kid. I wonder if, I don't know if he's going to be offered, but I know it'd be a lot of work, but it'd be kind of fun though, right?
Yeah, it'd be great. And you know, you like I said, there's ways that you can structure it to make it work. You can, I know the big thing that coaches want to see is, I want to see good on good. And I want to see who stands out in the good on good, right? So
yeah,
that can be accomplished even in that large group of kids. You just sort of, you know, the first couple skates, you sort of, okay, you get an idea of who belongs where, in what levels, and then you go from there. And
now, was there argument in the fact, as of now where we stand, is there argument there to say the best kids should just stick together and grow together? Because that kind of would eliminate that, that would eliminate that opportunity. It, but what really intrigues me about what we're discussing, which is kind of interesting, is that now you really wouldn't have favoritism, and you wouldn't have, oh, I hate Vegas Junior Golden Knights, and Vegas Junior Knights goes, oh, I hate Storm, and both of them are like, yeah, we hate Ice Warriors, because at the end of the day, you have no idea where you're going to land. Do you know what I mean? So you could land, and you can say, Storm says, I'm picking all the best kids.
Mm-hmm.
And all the best kids say, that's great, but maybe we don't want to come, or maybe some want to come over and be with that coach or whatever, what that experience, right? And you're sitting there going, okay, cool. I had given 17 spots out to these kids, and 10 of them are, that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other seven decided to go to the other two organizations. But the kids now don't have to choose.
Well, I mean, the kids choose after they're offered.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, they're not forced into trying out for one organization. They now have the opportunity to try out for all three. For all,
yeah. And you don't get those kids who, you know, really it's for those kids that are sort of, you know, maybe their play style fits one side versus the other, right? Like,
yeah.
And so the kid's good, but he just doesn't fit what this coach is looking for. So that you give those kids the opportunity to be in front of all the coaches, you give them the opportunity to, and then you give the coaches the opportunity to say, okay, hey, look, you know, here's this kid, rather than, oh, that kid I didn't pick him because I never saw him. I don't know who he is. Now you see everybody. And
which I think is cool. But here's the thing though. And this kind of segues into our next topic is, at what point, though, as a parent, do you get currently now the way the organizations are set up, one particular organization will do, as your kids get older, they may hold back a couple of spots for other kids, say, out of state. I know that was one of the discussions as far as billeting and stuff.
There was some grumbling. And
of course. Right? But I wanted to talk about this because, okay, first and foremost, last year, if you guys don't know this or not, but last year you could be double rostered, they call it. So you can play for a high school team. You can also play for a travel team.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic here, I think. I mean, you know, you tell me if I'm wrong, Nate. I don't know how many, if anybody, did a double roster, to be honest with you.
It's certainly not common here in Vegas, but in California, it's extremely
and maybe common. Minnesota would be double roster too, I think.
I'm not sure. I think Minnesota high school hockey is a little bit of a different animal.
Yeah.
But
let's financially, like, what would be the benefit of, say, a 16 triple jumping on a, say, a Gorman D1 varsity team?
Well, financially, no one really benefits.
Not from a parent's perspective.
I mean, no. Or an organization's perspective. I mean, that's one less kid you have in your organization. That's one less kid who's taking private lessons. That's one less kid that's taking your power skating classes or whatever, what have you, right? That's one less kid that's utilizing your ice time that you're selling. So financially, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for the organization.
Okay.
Right? Just pure numbers, right? That's one less kid. That's one less kid that's participating in all my extracurriculars.
Because they're double rostered.
Because they're double rostered, right? So they've taken up a spot. And while I get the money for that kid for that spot, I lose out on all those extras.
Yeah.
Right? So if I'm looking at it from maybe a profitability standpoint, it's really a dumb financial decision. So that being said, these organizations want to win.
Yep.
And, you know, the club teams, the AAAs, the AAs, are going to have your better skaters. And if you double roster them on your high school team, it's going to give your high school team a chance to win. A higher chance of winning because you have, you know, it's cold and calculated, but a more talented kid playing on your team.
Yeah. And I think from the high schools, like from a high school perspective, especially, you know, Gorman and Faith, that's what they're in for. That's what that's why they bring kids on, is to win. They're not going to bring mediocre kids on a D1 varsity to lose.
No.
Gorman has a great reputation of football. All they do is win, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
And Faith, I'm not sure. I'm sure they have some sport that they're really, really good at. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's hockey. I mean, they did play pretty well last year.
They had a really good team last year. Now it's,
But nevertheless, reading that comment, I was like, I don't. Now, are you taking a spot away from a kid that maybe is not as talented? You are. Yeah. But that kid probably wasn't going to be picked anyways, typically.
Well, I mean,
if you had a bubble kid, maybe. But if it's like,
if your kid's on the bubble, yeah.
If your kid's not on the bubble and you think that, well, he's high school or he's in high school, he should play. But there again, I don't think that's something parents really truly have to worry about. Now, are there kids coming in from out of state that are jumping on travel programs? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one disadvantage that Vegas has versus Boston, Minnesota, Michigan, even Arizona,
in California.
California, they have a plethora of kids to pick from, which they can get into their thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Vegas doesn't. But you also still want to compete, and I think that's where they're like, okay.
Well, here
we can grab all the kids. Every one of them can be Vegas born, say. But if you have a brand, or if you have a reputation of always putting out a decent product, we're not there yet.
No.
from the state of Nevada. Now,
so
does kids from the state of Nevada jump to other states? Absolutely. They get billeted off of Nevada because we're not there yet to stay here. I know coaches that are currently coaching AAA kids here, private ice here, because that's where they live.
Mm-hmm.
But they go to LA for their actual programs.
And the reason you would bring kids in on your team, number one, I mean, yeah, you can. It's to compete, but it's the same. It's sort of what we were talking about, what they do in Canada, right?
Yeah. How
they sort of spread the good kids out.
Yeah.
Well, that helps all your kids grow because they compete against those kids.
Yeah.
So now, if I want to help my local kids grow, then there's some sort of talent level cap, right?
Yeah.
The only way that I'm going to force some kids to grow and get better is to have them compete against kids that are at a higher level. And so I bring that into my team to up the competitive,
yeah,
you know, level of my team. And by doing that, again, adding that 1, 2, 3, 4 kids to the team is upping the competition level, not only in games, right? Yeah, I'm going to have a little better chance of winning, maybe. But 4 kids, right?
Yeah.
You need at least 2 great lines and 1 good line in AA, AAA to compete, really.
Yeah.
Quote. What that does, though, is now the rest of the kids on my team have to raise their level to meet those kids.
Yeah.
And so that benefits hockey overall in the state of Nevada, because the local kids will get better. They'll raise their competition level to meet those kids. So billeting makes sense in that manner. Now, I understand why parents would get upset, because, hey, those are 4 spots that Nevada kids don't get a chance at.
Yeah.
Same token, if you really want the sport of hockey to grow and be competitive, that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Until you get big enough, right?
Yeah.
Until you can, you get, you know, like I said, California, as big as they are, they still have kids going there, obviously, yeah, from Nevada.
Yeah, they still bring kids in.
Yeah.
And it's just, you have to do it to raise that competition level.
That's a good point. I mean, as a matter of fact, I remember talking to my son about it. I'm like, I go, hey, you know, they're going to be bringing in a full line of, mm-hmm, kids that are going to work their butts off. And I had this conversation today, and I said, you're going to have to work your butt. You're going to have to work harder,
mm-hmm,
than they are to prove that they made a mistake. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're getting at. Like, these kids are like, oh, look at these kids. They're really good. They're not that good. We're going to be better than them. Not that there would be any, like, tension between the team, but it, deep down inside, this is the bar that, yeah, they're
you
setting.
You got to raise your bar. And you know, in any sport, like, that's what you want. That's the point of – it's so there was a – there was a really good kid here in Nevada that is now in California, I think, still. And he was on my son's peewee team.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome to have him on that team, because my son, when he would go against him, would raise his level and match.
Yeah.
Right? And when you don't have on that, when you don't have that on the team, if you're naturally gifted or whatever, you're not forced to grow. And so if you have a kid that's at a higher level or even at any level, you always want to challenge them.
Yeah.
And bringing these billet kids in is that challenge, right? And so what you're saying, your son has to work harder.
Yeah.
Go meet the challenge. It's not that, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to, you know, whatever, or this kid, but you go meet that challenge, and that's how you get better.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling my son today, I was like, look, because he was saying, oh, I don't like this or that. And I said, if you're comfortable doing what you're doing in practice, that's not a good thing. You're not getting better. When you're uncomfortable, when you don't feel right in it, that's when you're getting better. That's when you're improving. That's when you're changing your brain. That's when you're adding new muscle memory. That chase, you have to learn to chase that uncomfortable feeling, right? And that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you know, this is hard. That's what you have to chase.
Well, I can tell you this. I mean, we could talk about youth hockey all day long, for sure. There's some... the chase. Well, I can tell you right now, for all the parents that have gone through tryouts, congratulations if your kids made any of the teams, from Bishop Gorman to Faith Lutheran. Like I said, there was 3 teams for each. D1, varsity D1, D3, and JV. for both of those high schools. Congratulations if you've made Storm all levels. Congratulations if you're on Vegas Junior Golden Knights. And soon for the parents that are going to be trying out for Ice Warriors, take a deep breath. Do the best. Make sure you tell your kids to do the best that they can. Play hard. Be involved. And we wish you guys all the luck in the world on that. Some side notes that we want to talk about real quickly. The Crusader Hockey Club. Faith Lutheran. I had a little shout out about 6 days ago. Congratulations to Carter Adams on the all ADHSL team and coach Adam Miller for winning the ADHSL coach of the year.
Wow, that's awesome.
So Adam ended up, yeah. And Carter Adams is a forward for their D2, varsity D2. And you want to really mute both mics before you do that. Yeah, good call. But that's okay. Listen, we didn't tell you, like, how to get a hold of us, right? And it's usually we should do this in the beginning, but we skipped it. But that's okay. If you want to get a hold of us, well, first I want to do a shout out. There, Jake, I think it's pronounced Khalib. Is it Khalib? K-I-E-L-B. Hockey Foundation?
I think it's Cube.
Okay. So they have a travel scholarship program is now open for applications. This program is formerly known as the Caudrol Sponsorship Award and has been relaunched into the Jake, you say it.
Jake Cube. I don't know if I'm saying it right either. Jake Cube
Scholarship Fund. Travel Scholarship Program. This program is to provide youth hockey players/goalies an opportunity to play on an established youth hockey travel program. This scholarship program is to assist families with the fees associated with their travel team. So they are currently accepting applications for the 24-25 season. So you can reach them out at www.hockeyforkids.org. And I'm plugging them, but this organization has never talked to me at all. Mm-hmm. But I think that's really cool. Oh, yeah. Having that opportunity for parents that, hey, their kid's actually pretty good, but financially it's quite expensive. We mentioned some of the prices, mm-hmm. but I would say they would range anywhere between $6,500 and like $8,000 just to get on the team.
Just on the team. I mean, You've really got to budget those travel expenses.
Yeah, travel expenses and coaches' expenses and now the latest and greatest, none of the equipment is covered, but practice jerseys.
Yeah, so you've really it. Now, as a parent in travel hockey, what you really have to expect is at least double what the season cost is.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, at least. You're looking at double the cost. So if you're going in and they tell you, oh, this is going to be $6,500, just know you're spending $13,000 for that season at least.
And to be honest with you and to be fair, any other hockey organizations out there that maybe doesn't do a lot of traveling, their cost is tens of twenties of mm-hmm. thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah. I know a couple in Pittsburgh where one was 13 and one was 17. So,
and I believe the Thunderbirds in Colorado is somewhere around, I think I heard somewhere between 20 and 25. But that includes travel if they mm-hmm. do travel. Like they wouldn't have to come out of pocket for their travel. But nevertheless, we wanted to just put a little shout out for that. Make sure that you get your application in at www.hockeyforkids.org.
And if you can, I would encourage you to go donate to that organization to allow some kids who may be less fortunate to participate in youth hockey.
Oh, well, that was a very nice plug. And then another thing, if you guys got any questions for us that we can talk about on the air, I guess we would talk it, podcast, hit us up at info@vegasrinkside.com. That's info@vegasringside.com. Well, Nate, I mean, it's been a long couple of weeks. We're doing our best to get some information out there. But you know, and if you want to plug your business, there's one other business that, you know, I always say it's always cool to support local. One of the youth hockey, what do you call it? The shops, it's called Revolt Hockey. All right. It's getting late and trying to think of things, but Revolt Hockey, they're off of Maryland Parkway and Windmill. Okay. You can stop in there, say hi. If you can say that, hey, Ringside Rundown sent me. I don't know if it'll get you anything, but you can always tell them that.
But at least they'll know.
It is family owned and it's local owned, and they're there supporting kids. They put out a nice little on their Facebook page under Revolt Hockey. They put a nice little like player of the year kind of or player of the month stuff. So they had some for April. Go check it out. You can see some of the kids. They have comments for the kids that were named player of the month. But definitely if you're looking for gear, they definitely have it. Of course, there's other places you can go, but you know, the local stuff, it's family owned. It's kind of, you know, worth the time to support
your local community. And you know, that's how we grow this hockey community together.
Yeah, it's a big hockey community, I would say. And if you're interested in following us on Facebook, hit us up at Vegas Ringside Rundown on Facebook group, mm-hmm. Vegas Ringside Rundown. Also, we are on Instagram, so hit the like and follow, please, on Instagram at Vegas Ringside Rundown. And then also, once again, I will reiterate the email, but I also plug the website we have. Yeah. So email again is info@vegasringsiderundown.com, info@vegasringside.com. But also, if you want to check out our website, because we did put one together.
We did. It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. You definitely can listen to our uploads from our podcast that's put on there, as well as some informational stuff like NAHA and just talking about like where to go for USA Hockey. So if you're interested in finding out those sites, you can go to
www.vegasringside.com.
There you go. www.vegasringside.com. Well, Nate, do you have anything else to end the podcast off with?
Well, I'll just say, you know, congratulations once again to all those who made a travel hockey team, and to those who didn't, keep your head up, keep working, and who knows, next year might be your year.
And next week, we will be talking about your thoughts on if any team, any program should promote a AAA program, but then reevaluate to say, nah, we're not really AAA, so we're going to go AA. So we'll talk about that next week for sure.
And we should also talk about some summer stuff. What are you going to do with your kid over summer?
Ooh, yes, we'll talk about that next week as well. Hey, if you want your kid on the podcast, reach us out at info@vegasringside.com. We would love to bring him in, have a conversation, see how he's doing, or she, and we can get him on the podcast if you want. So let us know at info, or hit us up at Instagram, Vegas Ringside Rundown.
Facebook, Instagram.
Or the Facebook group. But once again, my name's Ron.
And I'm Nate.
And we're out.